Do you want unlimited access to handicapping without exorbitant prices? Then BridgeNet.com has you covered with a variety of plans for past performances, pedigree, and raw data. The BridgeNet.com performance plan offers unlimited PDF past performances for just $75 per month and is available at BridgeNet.com/PP. American Produce Records Online puts the pedigrees of nearly 1 million dams and more than 2 million foals at your fingertips, plus sire stats, for only $275 per year, and is available at BridgeNet.com/APR. The BridgeNet.com data plan offers unlimited access to race day data files, perfect for handicappers with their own database or to plug into other people's programs. The data plan is just $125 per month. Visit BridgeNet.com for all this information and more, and discover why BridgeNet.com is the handicapper's edge.
Porchbills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving, paperless revolution. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for owners and other vendors who can pay through Porchbills.com for just 50 cents. Turn hours of work into minutes with our easy-to-use site. Have our team take over your bookkeeping or continue to do it yourself and pay only our low monthly subscription fee. Check out our video tutorial on the Porchbills.com YouTube channel and get started today for free. Porchbills.com. Toll-free number 888-938-4643.
Now, back to At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
Johnny, we're sorry. Won't you come on home?
We are back at the races, and Johnny D is back on the East Coast after a West Coast swing. He made the Del Mar scene. It's funny, Johnny was in Del Mar, and Sandy Hawley was at Saratoga. Johnny, good morning.
Stevie, it's good to talk to you.
Absolutely.
I sense a little bit of a little earlier, maybe not so much now. You might have warmed out of it. But I sensed a little Vegas throat earlier on in the show.
I got to tell you, and you know, I don't have to detail things, but this has been, and it's my own fault. I only have myself to blame. Johnny, every single night, there's something. There's a dinner. There's a party. There's a stop by. There's a. It's ridiculous.
I understand. I sympathize, and I got a little taste of it while I was in Del Mar. I'd forgotten a little bit of what it was like to be at, you know, these special race meetings where we all get together. These, as they're known as, boutique meetings. It's a seven-week grind at both Del Mar and Saratoga. But, however, and I'll pose this to you, sitting with people having dinner after a day of racing and a warm-up of maybe cocktails at the bar, then sitting down to have dinner and realizing that you've done this for five nights in a row now, and you just look, you know, you say, what other business, what other enterprise is life like this? Racing is not a job. It's a lifestyle. And, you know, you walk into, in these Saratoga or Del Mar, you walk into a local watering hole, and you see this guy and that guy, you know, and there's a trainer there and there's a jockey here who's coming in, and here comes some mutual clerks that you know, and here's a parking lot attendant, and oh, the bus boy, he's at the track every day, and the bartender, he's crying about his bad beats. It's what you do for a living moves over into the outside world, into a social setting. And I don't know, I guess, I don't know, I haven't worked in every in every job, every industry in the world, but I think that racing, you know, is probably unique kind of in that respect. You know, people used to ask me, well, you know, what's it like to work in racing? I said, I don't work in racing. Racing is my life. And I don't think people understand that. But when you're actually in the trenches, which I'm no longer in the trenches, but when I worked either for the racetrack in publicity or a racing official or whatever, those jobs, or when I was a jockey's agent, you're working, it's 7 days a week, basically. I mean, you don't stop. Holidays, you're there. I mean, the show is on those holidays. People are coming to the track on those holidays. It's, you know, you're out Thanksgiving, we race. And, you know, California, we used to race Thanksgiving and 4th of July. And everyone except Christmas. We didn't race on Christmas. It was nice of everyone to take a Christmas off. But every other day, you're racing. So I used to tell people, you know, and you're moving around. You're going, and we were lucky in my experience in Southern California. I was lucky that it was just, you know, Santa Anita to start the year, then you go to Hollywood, then you go to Del Mar, and then maybe if some people would make the trip to Pomona, then you go to Oak Tree, which was back at Santa Anita. You know, so it was and then maybe back to Hollywood to finish the year. So it wasn't a big ship. But people in other parts of the country, you know, when I spent some time in the Midwest, you know, you pick up and move. You know, we used to drive. Southern California is so fortunate. We used to drive everywhere, except for Del Mar. But other parts of the country, the people on the racetrack pick up and move. So people would say, what's it like working at the racetrack? I said, well, you know, it's like work. It's like being in the circus. It's not a job. You don't work there. It's your life. Because the people you see in the morning exercising horses, working in the barns, many of them have afternoon jobs. Whether the guy you saw on that $1 million baby in the morning is now parking cars in the afternoon, or the woman you saw, under that shed row running things, is in the afternoon she's ponying horses to the gate. And then at night you go out and you see the same people. And now some people say, well, that gets old, the same people. You go to a different restaurant and you see different people. I mean, it doesn't get old. There are enough people to go around. Just like you said, it's, you know, there's a stop by. We're having a come by. Do this, do that. You know, and you're torn in many different directions. Fortunately, and believe me, this is not complaining at all, and I know you're not either, because we love it. But it does, after a while, get to you. You know, I was talking to Tom Quigley out at Del Mar, and he said to me, he said, Del Mar is about a pound a day. And I we laughed, you know, yeah, because you're at the races, then you go to dinner and you're having drinks, you know. And I got home, I got on a scale last night when I got home. I was there 5 days, I gained 5 pounds. So he hit the nail on the head. I said, but wait a minute, Ali, you're here 7 weeks, you know, 7 times 7. That's a lot of weight. He said, yeah, it is. But I remember. And it's really great. It really is. It's just, don't anyone ask me which is better, Saratoga, but they are different. But they share so many things. The town of Saratoga really does come alive, and it's more centered around the racing than Del Mar. Del Mar used to be that way, but now it's kind of expanded. It's grown. There's so many restaurants, so many places to go. and there used to be like three places that you would, and I took a walk past Bullies, which used to be the key watering hole in Del Mar. Back, I'm going back to the 80s when you'd walk in there, and not on a Saturday night, but on a Thursday night, and they tell you a 2-hour wait for dinner, and you wouldn't mind. You'd go out in the patio, and at the bar as you walked in, you know, there'd be Charlie Whittingham, there'd be Shoemaker, you know, maybe Don Pierce, maybe, you know, some other riders in there, and you didn't mind waiting because there were trainers, there were agents. You'd go out back and you'd see, you know, 10 people that you knew. And so you felt like, you know, it was family, and they were family. That was your, so not a job, but a lifestyle, a life, you know? And I'm sure that there are places in Saratoga that are like that, where, you know, if you go there, you will see, I guess, what's it called? The Wishing Well? That's called
Wishing Well. Sure.
Yeah. Which is a spot where you're liable to see, you know, racing people. But now Del Mar's gotten so big. I mean, you still, if you stay in Del Mar, you will bump in, like, Red Tractons across the street from Del Mar is now a popular spot. Big food, old school food, you know, like, you know, a hunk of meat. You just get like this big piece of meat. And they don't bring you a side of fries. They bring you like a basket of fries. You know, it goes in the middle of the table, and it's just for one person, supposedly. I mean, it's big food. It's bold. It's old school. It's a, you know, kind of, you know, kind of replace the Bullies. Bullies was that big old food. But then you've got your trendy new places that you know, have a little more variety in the menu. And, you know, that's, but, you know, Red Tractors get the small little bar, but everyone, you know, is there. I mean, you'll see people having dinner, owners and trainers. You pick up, I don't want to say you can use it in your handicapping, but you see people with people, and you can kind of, well, what's that guy doing with that owner? He belongs with that owner, and maybe there's going to be, and what's that jock doing over here? He looks like he's having too much to drink, and who's he on tomorrow? I mean, you know, you start to do all those things. Anyway, yes, it's to get a little, is it Vegas throat? Is that what they call it? Vegas throat, to get a little Vegas throat? Yeah. It happens, sure, because you're yapping all day and then you're yapping all night, and maybe having, you know, too much to eat and too much to drink. I mean, it happens.
Well, for me, not the not the drink anymore, but I've said. In fact, I remarked to somebody yesterday. I said, I reiterated that I don't know how I did it when I did drink. That's the question, but I will say that the area that makes it challenging is on the handicapping front, because, you know, that time that you devote and typically devote, if you, you know, get done with the race day and then head home, and, you know, either you're trying to stay a day ahead or a couple of days ahead, I pretend that I'm going to get work done during the race day and you know, get an hour here, an hour there, but that never happens either. Now it's just, you got to dig in, you got to carve out time and, you know, make sure that, you know, you don't take the eyes off the prize, because it's still what happens during the race day that is going to make or break the meet. So on that topic, Johnny, some Del Mar thoughts, or, you know, some of the handicapping and wagering, tales of glory or tales of woe.
Well, I will second your motion that handicapping while attending these boutique race meets and completing the cycle is nearly impossible. You're doing it on the fly, and you're not spending nearly the amount of time that you would normally. And so I've learned over the years to temper myself on these hit and run trips. I temper myself because, and first of all, I start with the idea that, and I'm not speaking just Del Mar, also for Saratoga, these are difficult cards. Make no mistake about it. This, while you really want to cash at these boutique meets because you're so excited for them to arrive and the frenzy is there, you really are stimulated to play, you know, and go for the fences. And you see these big prices coming in, but, you know, the usual approach for personally playing pick fives, Del Mar now, early pick five, late pick five, it's hard because the devil jumps up. I mean, if I have four out of five one more time, you know, you miss one race where you just, I don't know. There was a Daniel Dunham won his first stakes race, I think Saturday, the graduation stakes, tapped the wire. Only paid $8. But I didn't see this horse coming, and I look after the race, and I can't see it. Well, that blows up my pick five. I've tempered my play on these trips. It's hard to do because you're excited. You want to be there. You want to, and I did on this trip. I went more for some win plays. I even tried to hit some nice doubles. I actually, but couldn't find a net. So this was not a successful wagering trip. But I cut my losses. My experience of going on these. On these quick hitting trips to places is that if you don't temper yourself, you can get destroyed because you're not doing the same amount of handicapping. You're not putting the thought into it. You're being pulled in too many different ways and you're tired. So I honor people like you who can do it on a daily basis and just keep showing up and keep, you know, doing well and providing quality selections and analysis. It's really tough to do. In fact, one day on this trip, I spent part of the time with my mother who lives, near Del Mar, and her 80th birthday is coming up in August. So I wanted to get out and I wanted to spend some time with her. And that worked out great. You know, we went to dinner and breakfast and lunch, and that, you know, so there was additional. I don't want to say my mother was a distraction because she wasn't a distraction, but there was other stuff to do. You know, I mean, it's like that's time. That's you're not handicapping. You're not. You know. So one morning, we went to the backside. My mother and I at Del Mar went out for the morning workouts. Went to the backside and visited with trainers and she'd never been back there before and to see how it all operates along, you know, she just really, really enjoyed it. And then we went to breakfast, but that's 4 hours chopped out of your racing day. And it's time you're not spending handicapping the races. So, excuse me, to back off, to pull back and say, look, I'm not going to say I'm not going to play because I'm here to play, but I'm not going to play at the same level that I normally would play if I were, you know, spending a couple hours handicapping a card because I just don't have the time. Now, there is one advantage at Del Mar. That 2 o'clock post.
Yeah. Yep.
It gives you that little extra time to put together your losing pick five. So it was not a success. I have no tales of glory. I wanted so badly. In fact, I did hit. What did I hit? I did hit a pick three In fact, I wish I had had it. I wish it was the old days where I had a ticket where I could just put it up on the wall. I put in a $100 pick three and got back $10. Pick three, all of it chalked out. 3 to 5, 3 to 5, or it was 8 to 5, 3 to 5, and I don't know, 3 to 5 or so. It just chalked out. and I got $10 back. So I thought that was kind of a, and the rest of the day, of course, bombs were exploding. It looked like the 4th of July with all the fireworks going off. But I believe that was Sunday. Pretty sure it was Sunday. It just went chalk, chalk.
Yeah.
Double chalk. Yeah.
But then enough. What was strange, you know, it's funny. There's a carryover tomorrow and 91,000. We'll talk about it with John White at the start of hour three. But it was a very strange carryover at a glance, looking at the charts, because in California there just weren't enough prices and oddball horses. I was shocked that there was a carryover from Sunday.
As I look at them, going backwards, the last race was a tough one.
But even that horse was only a little under 40, right?
It was almost 40 bucks.
Yeah.
So that was a pretty good one. And really, we should comment on this because I was there for the incident where Corey Nakatani and Giovanni Franco went down in the stretch. A nasty, nasty incident. Nakatani went down. His horse clipped heels. And Franco's horse went over. And it really, seeing it live, it's incredible that anyone can get up and walk away from that or even be carried away and not be. Thankfully, no one was seriously hurt. We did lose one of the horses, but thankfully no humans were hurt. And so, when you see it, you just can't imagine. And to have Franco come back the next day.
Next day. Unbelievable.
And ride I can't even imagine that he could win a race. It was even crazier to me because you'd have to think he's got to be twitching a little bit. I mean, come on. If I catch my finger in the car door for the next month, I'm closing the door with my foot. You know, I mean, he's got to be just hesitating a little bit. Nope. These guys, it's just another example of how amazing they are. He comes back and wins the race. And, you know, my other comment is that, the apprentice, Espinosa, was disqualified in that race for coming over in the race where the spill occurred, the incident occurred. I watched the replay, and they only show it up to the point where the incident occurred. And, he just drifted a little bit. He just kind of maybe wasn't paying attention for just a little bit. And we moved in front of Nakatani's horse, and it looked like they clipped heels. I didn't get to sit down and analyze it 28 times. But he just let his mount drift a little bit, and that's what happened. Now, I hope that this young man, true or not, this is the scuttlebutt you get at the racetrack, true or not, I heard Espinosa was at the hospital, like, all night, with Nakatani. Because he felt, obviously, he feels responsible. This is a part of an apprentice, of a rider's maturity that he's got to understand that these things happen. And yes, he may have been a little bit careless, and you can't be careless out there. You have to pay attention at all times. You have to be. His horse was lugging in a little bit, I think, and he just kind of maybe thought he was clear. This is what, when we talk about these guys out there, life and death, the horses and the riders. It's true. It's not, we're not making it up. We're not embellishing it. This is true. And I said this, we were talking about Drayden Van Dyke, and I mentioned that Smith and Stevens had helped him. And I also mentioned that the older riders will help apprentices because they're all out there together. And if you don't help the young guys understand how to get around there, it affects your safety too. So this is just an example of, and this Espinoza, I understand he's a great kid. I understand. I've seen him ride. He certainly has talent. And he's still an apprentice. And as he goes forward, it'll be interesting to watch his career develop. But here's a case where you've got to, you know, you can't go to sleep out there at all because lives are on the line, both equine and human. So you've got to be careful. And I hope this young man learns from this mistake. Thankfully, well, unfortunately, we lost the horse, but hopefully, you know, Corey Nakatani's going to be okay, and Giovanni bounced back and won a race the next day. And I hope Espinoza's okay. He didn't go down, but he, you know, helped contribute to the incident. So, you know, there's more than just, you see it happen, and you start to look at everything. How did it happen? How can we prevent this from happening again? You know, there's a saying around the track, and you may have heard it. Somebody will yell, "Hey, pick your head up, jock." And that may be you just doing something stupid around the office or something. Pick your head up, jock. Like, pay attention. And that, you know, looks like that's kind of what caused it. Same time, we talked about Drayden Van Dyke, and, you know, you can't help but be impressed with the things he's doing right now, and he's continuing to ride well and to win on the horses he's supposed to win on. And somebody, like, he won on this horse Driftaway Sunday, and then Tommy Proctor's horse, all right, help me out, Stevie. Saturday, Cambodia. The stakes race.
Cambodia.
Yep. Cambodia.
Proctor was yesterday. We had Proctor yesterday.
Yeah, and this kid is doing the job. So to answer your question in a long-winded way, no stories of wagering glory. I spent time with some outstanding people. I caught up with old people. Not, I mean old people, I mean old friends. I should say old. Well, they are old people now.
Let's be honest. They're old.
to walk into a watering hole, nearby watering hole, and see someone who for, you know, 30 years you saw almost every day, and now have not seen them in 20 years is great. It's fantastic. It's great. It's just wonderful. And it's so hard for me to go back there because it was my life for so long, and so many good friends, so many wonderful people, and it's hard to leave because I feel like that's home. And yet when I come back here, back to Philly, when the plane lands, I feel like I'm home here too. It's very strange, but wonderful.
Nice. And you celebrated your birthday and your mother's birthday, right, while you were there?
Yep. Yeah. Well, she asked me, she said, well, you know, why are you out here? I said, well, I have some business but I wanted to see you, you know, for your birthday and celebrate your birthday. Plus, I said, we get to celebrate the greatest moment of your life, my birth.
The greatest.
She didn't agree, but that's okay.
Was it in the photo?
Yeah, yeah. I have stir, but it was three noses. It was a nose and a head.
You got a check anyway. You got a piece.
Yeah, yeah, I got a piece. The only important thing is I think my brother is fourth. So that's the only important thing.
I saw there was a volley of well-wishers for you while you were out there, and the people thrilled to see you. I do know what you mean about the, you know, you feel at home there, you feel at home at home. Tina and I have a running gag whenever she meets me somewhere, or you know, we have the opportunity, wherever it is, Louisville and South Florida, California, Philly vicinity, up around Bedminster, for Far Hills. We drive around neighborhoods, and I turn to her at some point during the drive and say, "We could live here." And it's basically everywhere we go. We're driving. We're in Vermont, and we're over in Dorset. I said, "Yeah, we could live here."
Yeah.
It's a running gag.
Absolutely. I understand the feeling, and it's all revolved around the track. That's that's bringing you to these places. The circus.
The activity here, it wouldn't have been a bad day for you to be at Saratoga either over the weekend, because on Sunday, the jocks, they had the Hall of Fame weekend acknowledgement and trotted out the riders, and Sandy Hawley in attendance. You spent the lion's share of your agent days handling.
Yes, I saw the photos on social media. It looked like another fun day. Great to see all those guys together. I don't know how much he rode at Saratoga, but he's a Hall of Famer, so he certainly belongs in there. I don't know how much Sandy rode at Saratoga in his, but it would have been early in his career, because I know late in his career he didn't visit there very much. But what a great lineup of guys. And he had the Hall of Fame induction ceremonies this past weekend. Oh, one thing. I just wanted to make sure that you're working on this, because I kind of asked you to last week, and I don't know if you're progressing with this detail or whether you're regressing. I can't tell. I asked you to make sure you get all this rain out of your system before Travers Week and my visit. And I don't know if you're just following up with that or you have no handle on it. But this past weekend, you didn't do such a good job.
Well, we, by all rights, we dodged bullet, I think. It was not as, even with the cancellation of the two stakes at the end of the card Saturday, things could have been a lot worse. And the turf is going to be firm tomorrow. There's a little bit of a threat of a passing thing, but this was not as difficult a set of circumstances as possible. On that topic, let's hit on your take. I mean, obviously you were watching from Del Mar. I put out a thing this morning because we don't have an Elias Sports Bureau, unfortunately. But people were talking about Diversify getting the natural hat trick, winning a Jockey Club Gold Cup, then a Suburban, and now a Whitney. And there's only two other horses since the Whitney came around in 1928 that have done that. That would be Kelso, an Easy Goer. And I put out a bunch of interesting, there's some very notable Suburban Whitney doubles and Whitney Gold Cup doubles and Suburban Gold Cup doubles, but only two horses in the 90 years that they've been running the race have done it. And plenty of them, plenty of the ones that had doubles tried the other races. And it's a noteworthy accomplishment. It's not just some sidebar oddity. Somebody responded, Johnny, by saying, "Oh, well, he was, you know, he was helped by the sealed racetrack and the rain and the track change notably." I'm sure the track changed notably in any of those three races any number of times. I mean, we play the game outdoors.
Yeah, and I heard you, Rick Violet, most of it before I had to get on the plane. And, you know, the talking about what that does to horses waiting in the paddock, you know, and how every horse handled it and how much they were asked to handle, which obviously, standing at Sunny Del Mar, you know, the comments from people as we were looking up on the monitors watching the storm at Saratoga, you know, the cracks from people like, "You sure you want to go back to that?" And, you know, "Does this happen often back there?" And "It doesn't happen here." And "We don't need umbrellas and our horses," you know, all the comments that you have to hear when you're based in the East visiting Del Mar. But for those horses to overcome that, and for the favorite to then produce, and the way he ran, look, he ran the same way he ran the time before. You can't start knocking. Do you remember when we, I think it was right after Justify, our conversation on air, right after Justify retired, and I was mentioning, and I wrote my Express.com column about it, the odds, the future book odds on Breeders' Cup Classic. And I said, you know, Diversify, you know, he was 50-1 at that point. He's 10-1 now. But he was 50-1, and I mentioned him. But, and I said something like, I know he kind of takes his racetrack with him. Kind of. He's good at Saratoga. He's good at Belmont. I don't know, you know, elsewhere. But at 50-1, in a division where, okay, you got Accelerate, you got, you know, I mean, it's like, okay. John Sadler's got two of them, but Baffert's certainly going to have something by that time ready. But it's kind of open. 50-1 on a horse that just ran the way he had run made sense. Well, now it's 10-1, so that ship has sailed. And your comment about it wasn't as bad as it could have been, I think I heard the captain of Titanic say that.
I've seen bigger icebergs. Is that the... Johnny, we got to pull up. I got to get to Brad Cox. But a quick update on the Fun in the Sun activities over the weekend.
Fun in the Sun activities. Well, we were shortened to 8 races because of the cancellations at Saratoga. But still, Donald Wolfram, $207.50, $4,000 first prize, weekly prize. Craig Latiolis, $189 in earnings, $2,000 prize. And Joseph James and Stanley Matulis, $181.50 each, $181.50 in earnings. They get $500 each. Those are the weekly prizes. As the season progresses, Richard Nielsen, a longtime tournament player, now on top with $459 in earnings. Scott Shore, second at $440. Ben DeJong, third at $431. So the seasonal leaders kind of did a recalculation there. I'm telling you, there's still time to get in this thing. You're not completely out as far as the seasonal. You're definitely up against the wall, but you can jump in and still go for the seasonal prize. Had a buddy tell me the other day. He said he's at 175 for earnings for the season. I said, you know what? If you have one big weekend, you're going to be right back in the game. One, you know, $300 weekend, and that's based on $10 win wagers on each of 10 mandatory races. $10. If you have a $300 weekend, you're right back in it. So don't give up. I don't know what Tina's total is, but you know, one big weekend, Steve, it can turn everything around.
Well, she did not have a great Saturday, and it was one of those bob and weave type of a days. I was sitting with her, in fact, and I contributed to the miscues, to be frank.
Did you do the bobbing or weaving?
That first race, the first race at Del Mar was a perfect example. It came down to the winner and the favorite, and you know, I thought the winner was okay and had a real shot, but said to her, I think the favorite probably wins there. And sure enough, I think it was, you know, like an $11 horse. I mean, those, you got to hit those. You got to hit them.
Suitably named, It's Gonna Hurt.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly right. Johnny, I'm glad you're home. Glad you had a great trip. And now we can look forward to the famous Travers Week visit. And while you were gone, by the way, Someday Jones, for your travel companion, Will Schwartz, and your golf partner. Congratulations to Mainline. Will, with a big win at Penn National the other afternoon, Saturday.
Mr. Schwartz is having a ball. He texted me and told me to look at the sixth race yesterday at Parks. I haven't had a chance to look at him. They must have run something impressive there.
Well, now you got
that's
me looking
can,
at
that's
it.
That's all I can guess.
Well, Someday, that was nicely done by John Service to take the time with Someday Jones and bring him back like that to win the Robolino. That was nicely executed.
It's always good when you win, Steve. Always, especially when you pick the right spot.
Well, and he's crowing because yesterday, the first-time starter, the 2-year-old Include Philly, group text. A winner, wire to wire, under Frankie Pennington, paid $13. Good job, Will and Johnson.
Yeah, so he tells me after the race.
it's your man. You gotta.
Yeah, my man.
You better pull him up, Johnny D. Thank you, buddy.
Stevie, thank you.
XB Johnny D on Twitter. Let's take a break. We're 90 minutes in, 93 minutes in. Brad Cox standing by. We'll see what he thought of the sale last night. But more importantly, how about 5 stake wins? Unbelievable. He won the Governor's. He won the Secretary of State and the Delegate Speaker's Cup at Mountaineer Saturday. And then on Sunday, turns around and wins the Kentucky Downs Preview for the Tourist Mile, Mr. Misunderstood, and one of the favorites around here, the win from Arklow, which, of course, barely escaped that runaway train in that ridiculous movie. That was the Turf Cup. And Sean Bridgman with the pair of wins. Bridgmo having a good summer. And I should mention, who was it that did Sean win? I think he won 6, right? Did he win 6 in total? Is that what? Yeah, you gotta keep track of everything around here. It's not easy. We'll find out what Brad Cox thinks of the sale and much, much more. And yeah, Sean won 6. He had a pair of natural hat tricks. He won the first 3 races, and then he won the 6th, 7th, and 8th as well. He won the that allowance, 7-furlong allowance for Jinx Fires in between the 2 Brad Cox stake wins. And he won a couple of maiden races, too, that we should note, including, by the way, a 3-year-old on the turf that might be okay, Shakes Creek. And there was also a 2-year-old on the turf that looked okay, a Take Charge Indy named Pole Setter. Brad Cox joins us next. John White for Del Mar carryover thoughts, top of the hour, and more. Stay with us.
The latest. latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio. If you want to hit big at Saratoga and Del Mar, ExpressBet is the only way to play. ExpressBet customers have access to free handicapping information, like wager guides for the Traverse and Pacific Classic, and expert tips from renowned handicappers like Eddie Olchik. Plus, new ExpressBet customers will receive a $500, $100, or $20 welcome bonus when they sign up today. Learn more at ExpressBet.com. Must be 18 years or older and 21 years old in certain states to open an account with ExpressBet and reside in a state where such activity is legal. Void where prohibited. National Gambling Support Line, 800-522-4700.
Why is accreditation important in aftercare? The Thoroughbred Aftercare Alliance's standard of accreditation and grant process provide donors with confidence that their contributions are allocated in the most effective manner. TAA accreditation is only awarded after a complete review of an organization. Aftercare cannot be an afterthought for the industry. To learn more or support the TAA's mission, visit thoroughbredaftercare.org.
Pennsylvania's breeding program is truly the most lucrative in North America. Now, we'll pay a 50% breeder award for PA-sired, PA-bred maidens who run first, second, or third, with 25% for non-PA-sired, PA-breds. Last year, the number of mares bred rose by 15% in Pennsylvania. And unlike some other states, our Racehorse Development Fund can only be used to support Pennsylvania breeding and racing. This is Brian Sanfratello. Please visit us at PABred.com.
Learn the business of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence for more than 25 years of equine business education. Classes are taught by industry experts in state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.
Internationally and from coast to coast on every circuit, Biomedical Research Labs provides superior equine supplements to more than half of the leading trainers. Isn't it about time you join the family? To learn more about how EPO Equine, Unlock, and Bleeder Shield can fit into your program, contact me, Joseph Vellante, at 215-501-6880 and visit brlscience.com.
Down the biggest stories in the world of horse racing. This is At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
Somewhere in South End, when you were fun, you took my hand and you made me run up past the prison to the seafront. You climbed the cliff edge and took the plunge.
Back at the races, about 20 minutes to the top of the hour, and the man of the hour from the weekend, Brad Cox, who sending out winners everywhere that he races, and that included Ellis Park with a terrific day, the two stake wins and the two maiden breakers that came on Sunday, Mountaineer on Saturday as well, and the three stake wins there. By my count, on Saturday and Sunday, and I didn't even go back to Thursday, Friday, and I didn't include Indiana, and I, God knows where else. But 16 starts, 7 wins, 2 seconds, 2 thirds. Brad Cox joins us. Congratulations.
Hey, thanks, Steve. Thanks for having me.
Oh, listen to you. You sound so humble. I haven't talked to you since that picture I put up. I every so often somebody likes it on Twitter, of you holding the coaching club American Oaks, the trophy from 110 years ago, and you've got that look, and people a bunch of people have said to me that picture of Brad Cox, it's my favorite picture of him ever.
Hey, Yeah, no, I saw the trophy and I said, is that what the trainer gets? And they immediately said no. So I was a little disappointed. I said, can I at least get my picture taken with it? So they said, yes, sir, go ahead. So no, that was nice.
Well, you're going to obviously have to either buy a new trophy case or put in a couple more fireplaces, a few more mantles. This was really quite a weekend.
Yeah, it was a great weekend for the host staff. You know, the team does a good job, all the assistants. It was a great weekend. We thought going in that we'd have a good weekend, and it turned out to be excellent. So we're very happy with all the horses and their performances. And, it's a lot of logistics making all that happen, but it just comes down to having great help. And that's what it's basically comes down to, that and the owners allowing us to place these horses where they can be competitive.
Take a minute on that topic and explain how that happens. A lot of the bigger outfits will have a, not just an office or business manager, but a coordinator of all of the logistic portions, and explain how you've approached it.
Well, I do enter all my horses at various racetracks for the most part. I mean, every now and again, if I'm behind or something, I may have an assistant call up and enter a horse. But for the most part, I mean, I'm entering all my horses. But you know, we as far as the travel with the grooms, the hot walkers, you know, we have people in place to kind of make sure everyone's licensed. And then, you know, obviously I was at Saratoga this weekend. Ricky Giannini, my assistant in Indiana, jumped on a flight from Indianapolis to Pittsburgh and flew over to, over to Pittsburgh. And then, you know, obviously rented a car and drove down the Mountaineer and handled all that. And then we have a stable at Ellis. Obviously had several at Ellis on Sunday, so that works well. Most of the runners shipped from Churchill over to Ellis to run for the day. But, obviously it's just a lot of good assistance in place, and everybody's pretty much on the same page, and I feel like it's very well organized.
The action at Mountaineer, let's start there, and the graded win for Leah Frick, and nice enough group in here, and he and Hawakam were vying for favoritism. Ultimately, Leah Frick gets it, and you didn't mess around here. You went to the lead.
Yeah, that was, I mean, it obviously scratched down somewhat of a short field. That horse drew the inside, and Florent, you know, he threw the horse at Prairie Meadows last time out, and he just didn't offer any run early on. And his race at Prairie Meadows in the allowance was, actually, if you go back and look at it, it was an amazing race for him to get up and win. And then, Florent made the comment, like, you know, there's not a whole lot of speed in here, just kind of our other horse, like Term of Art, which is a very nice horse. And Julian rode him, and he just broke and was a little more on it. I guess it was the second race off the layoff, so he was a little more alert and aware and ready to go. They're top of the lane, mid-stretch, whenever. I kind of thought Term of Art was going to get the best of him, but he really dug in. He's a very, very game horse, slightly raced, obviously, halfway through his five-year-old year. But he's had some setbacks. This horse was purchased privately 2 Novembers ago by Liz Crow out of the November sale as a racing or stallion prospect. And obviously we just bought him to race him, and he's got a good pedigree. He's a candy ride. He's an expensive yearling. And he's been very good to us. His Steve Landers first graded stake win, so that was big.
And, really?
It was his first graded stake when he's been graded stake placed a few times, but that was his first graded stake, and it was a big victory. And the horse is, ultra tough horse that shows up for us every time we lead him over there. He was, he ran a great race in the, I believe it was the Razorback earlier this year, and then he was sidelined. And then, it was good to get a great stake win with him. But, you know, as far as going back to the placement in the race, Florent just kind of asked him to run away from there, and he was more involved the other day than he was in his last start. So that was encouraging to see. And the runner-up Term of Art, Calumet, he's a very, very nice horse. I think this horse has got a big future. We've had him for two starts, and he's showed up for us both times, and we think he could definitely be a player in the handicap division the rest of the year and even into next year.
Well, and that was a horse we spent plenty of time last year talking to Doug O'Neill about, and bred to be a nice horse, and of course had the sibling sell last night as well, the Empire Maker sibling for $500,000, and in fact, yeah, there was quite a bit of sibling action. It's funny from the weekend that feeds right into the sale. He paired up. You mentioned the Razorback, and he did pair up his career top buyer. What do you want to do? Where do you want to go next?
You know, he's here back to Churchill on Sunday, and looks like he came out of the race in good shape. So, you know, we'll maybe look at like a Lucas Classic at Churchill in September. That could be a spot for him and Termavard as well. Probably, obviously, try to split them up. But those are races that, you know, we've kind of penciled in, and just kind of see how they can train over the next few weeks and kind of get a little bit better idea after that.
We'll turn our attention to the other winners, but let's also take a minute and talk about the feature. Had Dale Romans yesterday to talk about Mr. Freeze, and he just hamstrung this field, and High North was chasing and it ran okay, but that was a big effort by the winner.
Yeah, a huge effort by the winner. He definitely put everyone away turning for home. But High North's a really nice horse. We, you know, we tracked the winner. We really had no excuse. Maybe just, you know, Molly Nathan may not be exactly what this horse wants to do. Me and Mr. Anthony have talked about it several occasions that Mylon Eighth is probably not his cup of tea, but you know, that race was there as $500,000. It's restricted to 3-year-olds, obviously, and we thought it would be a good stepping stone, just kind of keeping turning over, and it'd be a good stepping stone to possibly something like the Super Derby the first part of September. He did come out of the race in good shape, so if falls well, we're appointing him for the Super Derby at Louisiana Downs the first part of September.
Nice. All right, let's talk about the other two winners, and that included big changes. Here's an elder from Steve Landers, and, you know, was going to be a heavy favorite, but yeah, they still have to go do it on the track.
Yeah, he's been a nice horse. He's plugged away and for the last 3 or 4 years, and he's picked up 3 stake victories, and I believe that was his 3rd stake win, and all of them have come on the grass. He did some running on the dirt early on, I think in his 4-year-old year, and I was really excited about getting him on the grass the whole time. I thought he would, you know, some of these midshipmen do run on the grass, but I mean, he's out of a Giants Causeway mare. So I really thought, you know, he'd be a horse that would perform well on the grass. We made that move about 2 years ago, and he's been ultra consistent, or he's been somewhat pretty consistent for us. He had some setbacks last fall and just kind of just tailing off. So we gave him a good bit of time, and he responded well. He's actually undefeated this year. So, we spotted him well, and he's rewarded us, and he showed up. And I honestly think he's in his good form. He's definitely in his good form right now and running as well as he's ever has. And obviously we gelded him a while back, but that seemed to help him a lot as well. So he's a horse that, as long as we can pick our spots and find those nice, you know, $50,000, $75,000, $100,000 stakes throughout the Midwest, he's going to be competitive.
He's a midshipman and is a awfully useful. I mean, he's 6 years old and just looking. It looks like, you know, this is one of those horses, Brad, that got, now that he's mature, he's a mature horse. It wasn't really until 5 that you could campaign him without interruptions. I mean, he obviously had some issues as a young horse.
Yeah, no doubt. We took over his training early in his 3-year-old year. We actually gave him a ton of time. I mean, I think he was out for 6 months and then come back. And, you know, really, I mean, it doesn't take a genius to figure out. It looks like you get 3 or 4, maybe 5 races out of him each year, and then he requires a little break. But that's just, you know, as long as he's, you know, showing up and performing, and he's worthy of a break, he's going to get one. So we just kind of let him tell us, you know, when he needs some time off, and he's responded well to that program.
You also had the Secretary of State win Golden Mischief, and you know, she also was going to be a short price, and backs up the performance in the Sailorville with this effort, and you know, she's kind of elevated her game a little bit as a 4-year-old.
Yeah, she's a really nice filly. Judmont purchased this filly out of the November sale last year, and yeah, she's very nice. I mean, we think a lot of her, and you know, our goal is to get her some greatest stake placing. She was formerly with Steve Asmussen. He did a fantastic job with her, and I think she was maybe beaten a header and neck and for a greatest stake placing, and obviously she was a stake winner with those guys as well, but she's a really nice filly that gives her what she's got every time. She's a little in and out sometimes. You know, you think she's set up for a big effort, she'll run a little flat. Our first race with her this year was going 5.5. She was kind of stuck down on the inside and probably needed the race, and other than that, she's been ultra consistent. She had a really tough trip in the winning color. She was big favorite in grade 3, and we really thought that was her shot to get some graded black type on her, and she just didn't really get a good trip that day. Got kind of bounced around a quarter mile or at the half mile pole, and just was, you know, just not her day, and just didn't get the trip we needed. But she's a nice filly, and you know, with a little luck, as long as everything goes well the rest of the year, hopefully we can hang out some graded black type with her, and she'll eventually have a date with Arrogate over at Judmont.
Nice, and the Judmont has been doing that, been augmenting the broodmare band with horses like this, and if you can fancy up the race record, that's the whole idea. Before we talk about Sunday and the Ellis Park success with you contributing to Bridgemo's 6 wins, under the radar at 12-1, Kelly's Humor backed up your strong statistics with turnbacks and ran very nice performance to get the last black type in the test. Talk about that effort.
It was huge. You know, that was a mission accomplished to run third there. It was a solid group of fillies. The fillies run 1-2 are obviously a grade 1 fillies week in, week out. And our filly, you know, she's knocking on the door in these greatest stakes. She's a stake winner, and she's obviously still a 2-other man. But she's, you know, now grade 1, grade 2, grade 3 placed, which obviously that was huge for her broodmare residual value as a broodmare. Rosario did a fantastic job riding her. He did, I mean, obviously we were third by a head or a neck, or I'm sorry, a nose or a head, but he did a fantastic job. You know, the instruction was to just try to save some ground around the turn, fan her off the turn to quarter pole, get her outside. It seems like she does her best running out there, but I think you recognize there was some, you know, plenty of clearance down the up the rail, so he kept her down to the inside, and it was definitely the difference in being third and fourth. So a lot of the credit goes to him and the job he did with her, and understanding how the race was unfolding. They didn't go extremely fast in there. We thought they may go a little fast, you know, kind of looking at the victory ride. Some of those fillies from Belmont were cooking up front, and they just didn't really come back quite like they did in the victory ride there at Belmont. So that's kind of what we were hoping for, but it worked out extremely well. She got the grade 1 placing, and you know, we'll definitely keep her around 1 term. We've experimented with her back and forth in 7/8, and obviously she ran the Oaks, but I really think that, you know, she's a midnight loot out of a distorted humor mare, and that's 7/8 out of, you know, on top of 7/8. So that's, you know, like I said, we'll keep her around 1 term for now.
Well, and she would do well to stay around New York and take advantage of the extended sprint distance and the 1 turn route opportunities downstate.
Yeah, no doubt. She's like you said, 1 turn. And, you know, right now we're kind of looking at the Lexus Raven Run as the I wouldn't say year-end goal, but, you know, that's a race that we really want to target at Keeneland this fall. And she's had a couple starts at Keeneland. She ran really well in the Beaumont in the spring. So hopefully we can get her back there happy, healthy, and sound.
Well, that was one of the nice efforts that might have gone a little under the radar. Let's talk about Sunday at Ellis. And before the four stakes started, you helped Sean Bridgman win three races right off the bat, a natural pick three for Bridgmo. And let's see, what did the Bridgman pick three pay? It paid $26.05. All right, well, so we didn't get, nobody got rich, but well, you did get two diplomas, pole setter, first time starter, and really ran professionally, I thought, and then the wire win from Shakes Creek.
Yeah, very, very happy with the race from pole setter. Turf was extremely quick down there. He was able to set off some horses. He didn't break extremely sharp. He just broke okay, and he was able to set him behind horses, circling around, coming out of the far turn. And yeah, I mean, really ran well. I thought he finished up well and galloped out extremely well. I think that's a horse that, you know, we'll see how the, you know, we'll see what lies ahead as far as stakes and, you know, maybe even allowance race. We'll just kind of see what happens. He come out of the race well. I do think he's a dirt horse, or he can run on the dirt. Obviously showed he can run on the turf, but he had a really good breeze week before this race, and I was very excited about running him, and he didn't let us down. So hopefully he's a horse that, you know, can be competitive in some stakes at some point this year.
It looked like it. Talk about a couple of house favorites, Arklow and Mr. Misunderstood, and both of them with strong performances at odds on.
Yeah, both horses. I mean, we had, there were grade ones for these horses this coming weekend. Obviously, Arklow, the Arlington, or at Arlington in the Arlington Million, and then Mr. Misunderstood. We tinkered with the idea of bringing him up for the four-star Dave to Saratoga, both grade ones for both horses. But, you know, we thought Kentucky Downs has such a great program. This was their preview day at Ellis, and, you know, let's try not to take too much meat off the bone right now. You know, give them a race. It sets up really well for Kentucky Downs with the timing and everything. And but Kentucky Downs is a little tricky. I mean, you don't really know if a horse is going to like it till they make a start over it with obviously the difference in the configuration of the course. But with the money they're giving away, you have to try to find out. So that's all I know. But both of them, obviously Mr. Misunderstood, that race set him up for the Tourist Mile, and Arklow for the Calumet Turf Classic, going a mile and a half, both 750, and we're looking forward to both of those in their next start.
Nice. And the one disappointment really out there on the weekend was Will Call.
Yeah, just the race just didn't set up for him. They just didn't come back. Kind of lost his position a little bit going into the turn.
It was way wide.
Yeah, really wide. Come off the turn, I don't remember, but he was extremely wide. And then kind of got bumped a little bit, maybe threw him off stride just a little bit. But, yeah, it just didn't really set up at all. I mean, it was just a little bit of a tough trip. And, you know, obviously speed was really good that day on the turf course. So, you know, that's one you just kind of, you know, draw a line through. We'll regroup with him. And, you know, he's a possibility for the 6.5 furlong race at Kentucky Downs. I think it's the Kentucky Cup Dash or something. But, or Kentucky Downs Dash. But that's something that we'll look at with him and just kind of go from there. He did come out of the race in good shape, so we'll just keep marching along with him.
I also want to ask, in addition to the older winner on Sunday, a horse that we talked about last week that came back and won, and that was Pachinko. And that looks like a nice launching point for her. She's going somewhere.
Yeah, she's a filly. We picked her up this winter at the fairgrounds. They had her at Judmont, and she'd just come over from France. And she took a little getting used to here in America as far as, I think the first time we ran her, she kind of really left herself too much to do coming out of the gate there at Churchill. Kind of sharpened her up. We put some blinkers on her in the last few starts, and she seems to be figuring it out. She's got some speed. She's a tappet. She ran extremely well the other day. Bridgman did a good job of getting her out, getting her in the game. Obviously, once again, the turf playing fast at Ellis, and she was close to breaking the track record. I don't remember exactly how close, but I think she was a couple ticks off the track record, and it was a powerful race. Very pleased with her, and she's a nice filly.
Got an idea, I mean, to take a snake shot?
Probably the first level allowance at Kentucky Downs is what we're looking at right now with her.
All right.
Probably not ready for steak company yet, but you know, she's obviously got conditions, so we'll continue to let her progress and hopefully go through those, and then maybe take a shot at stabbing some steaks this winter, maybe at the fairgrounds or something.
Well, we're going to talk about the sale in a second, but let's get a couple of this week today kind of conversations in. Dancing in Paradise is going to debut at Ellis. What do we got? This looks like a 2-year-old with some potential. An exchange rate out of the Pulpit Mare, Paradise Bound.
Yeah, it's nice filly. She was purchased out of the 2-year-old in training sale. Eddie Woods had her in the sale, and she's a nice filly. We do think she's a grass filly. She's not one that we're just running on the grass just because of the distance, but we do think she's going to be a little better on the grass as opposed to the dirt. Obviously, I was talking about the pole setter earlier, and we do think he's going to be dual surface. But she's a nice filly. She showed up for, you know, bruised very well in the morning. Sean Bridgemont's riding her, and he's bruised her a few times, so he thinks she's got some talent and ability, and you know, I think she's set up for a big effort. Looks like a pretty good maiden special weight. There's some fillies in there that have some racing experience and have been knocking on the door, so it doesn't look like a soft race at all, so we should find out what we have on Friday.
Nice. I wanted to slip that in. And let's also just talk about how you were affected by the cancellations, and of course we got the action coming up in Chicago this weekend. Where do you stand? I can't remember if you got postponed.
Postponed on what's that, Steve?
From the stakes. Did you have one of the? I can't remember if you were in the.
Oh no, not at Saratoga. No.
Okay.
I didn't have anything in those stakes. It's here at the last two stakes after the Whitney. No, I had nothing in those. But as far as Chicago goes, right now it just looks like we're gonna have Beyond Blame and the Pucker up. She won the Regret there at Churchill in the spring or summer, and she hasn't raced since her last victory in the Grade Three at Churchill. So she set up her big effort. Really like this filly. She gives us what she's got every time. Florent's going to ride her. He gets along with her extremely well, and that's all we'll have going this weekend in Chicago. But we're really looking forward to getting her back running because she's a nice filly.
Excellent. Let's also take the opportunity. When I reached you yesterday, you were perusing Yearlings. Some thoughts about last night, and any of your people make a move, and what do you expect tonight?
Well, those are nice horses. I personally didn't raise my hand at all. I kept my hands in my pockets. But I was out last night for the sale, and I mean, they had an unbelievable crowd. It's amazing to, I mean, you can hardly walk around the place, but it's an unbelievable atmosphere. You know, quality horses, and we have some clients that purchased some horses. Now, what they do with those, that'll be determined, I'm sure, at a later date. But you know, looking forward, hopefully we can pick up a few of those, and you know, they'll be back at it again tonight. Very, very nice group of horses. Not many. I mean, obviously, it's just 255 catalogs. So, but it's an unbelievable night, a great atmosphere, and it's good for horse racing for sure. Good for the business.
Who are you impressed with among the first crops? When you look at it, we got a dozen first crop stallions represented in this group. Who's impressed you?
Well, the American Trails obviously are, you know, strong horses, big strong horses. I like Liam's Maps, the Tonalist, several stallions I like, and you know, that's probably the most exciting thing is going out there and looking at the new sires and seeing what their offspring look like. That's one of the most exciting things about the you know, first crop sires.
Well, it's certainly an exciting year for the barn. You with virtually, I think, one or two more stake wins, you'll equal and surpass last year's $8,700,000 total, $8,800,000, I should say, and you're also now well within striking distance. Yesterday, Dale Romans, he's getting close to 2,000, and you're 59 wins away from 1,000 yourself.
Yeah, that can't come quick enough. No, it's been a good year, and we're very, very, like I said, very pleased with what this team's accomplished, and hopefully we continue on and bigger and better things to come next year.
Well, you're averaging about 20 wins a month, so looks like November, maybe you can win 2,000, long on value, at Breeders' Cup Turf Sprint, your 2,000th winner.
No, 1,000.
1,000. Yeah. But and Dale could win his do something as well on the same day. It'd be be nice to do that at back at Churchill, right? Both of you, considering you've got that same Dale Roman storyline, really, from the Ville and all that. That's kind of cool.
That'd be special.
It's always special when we get to see Brad Cox smiling and being congratulated on the kinds of wins that he's racking up. It's been a great year. Any Monomoy news to impart?
She's doing really well. She'll probably be, chances are, right now, I think we're going to breed her this weekend here at Saratoga, and it'll be her first work since the coaching club. She's looks amazing. She's moving great. Real happy with where we are with her right now and how she's doing. So, yeah, I mean, everything's positive with her right now. We'll keep rolling and pointing for the Cotillion the 22nd of September.
Oh, and that's a fun day. I'll give you a couple of Philadelphia area restaurant pushes when we get close.
There you go.
All right.
All right, Steve.
Brad, thanks a lot. Brad Cox, thanks, everybody.
A lot of fun, and boy, he's an overnight success. No, he's not overnight. Not an overnight success. He worked incredibly hard to get to where he is. And clearly, I mean, how about that? He enters all of his horses virtually himself. That's quite something, because he's operating at Ellis, Indiana, Saratoga, you know, and then whatever else. That surprised me, got to say, because that's a time consuming and keeping track of draws at all the various venues. Quite that tells you what kind of manager Brad Cox is. Nice. Well, you can follow Brad too, Brad Cox Racing, on Twitter. No punctuation. Lowercase. Back after this. Top of the hour, a little past, and John White standing by. We'll do some quick Del Mar review. We'll talk about those two-year-old races. I really have not had a chance. It's been busy, and obviously with the sale, but you know, we got Proctor yesterday for the big win, the big title defense for Cambodia, but the two-year-old action and the La Jolla and that from the weekend at Del Mar, so we'll do that with John White, and then we'll look at the pick six sequence tomorrow at Del Mar. 91,000 to start the bidding. Back after this.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
Enjoy Daily Racing Form's best value with a multi-track PP pack. Get 5 full-card PPs featuring the day's best racing for only $6. Each DRF multi-track PP pack features full-card DRF pass performances for the top tracks you want to play. Handicapping articles and analysis, closer looks for key tracks, and selections by DRF handicappers. Daily packs and longer plans for all budgets are available. Download full-card PPs for 5 of today's top tracks. Visit drf.com/multi-track today.
Pennsylvania's breeding program is truly the most lucrative in North America. Now, we'll pay a 50% breeder award for PA-sired, PA-bred maidens who run first, second, or third, with 25% for non-PA-sired, PA-breds. Last year, the number of mares bred rose by 15% in Pennsylvania. And unlike some other states, our Racehorse Development Fund can only be used to support Pennsylvania breeding and racing. This is Brian Sanfratello. Please visit us at PABred.com.
Your barn is successful. Your program is tried and true. However,
There are a few horses that aren't responding in the way you'd like. Does this sound familiar? Well, let Biomedical Research Labs help change that. Our clinically proven products will help your equine athletes become their very best. I guarantee it. This is Joseph Vellante. To learn more, contact me at 215-501-6880 and visit brlscience.com.
Horsebills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving, paperless revolution. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for owners and other vendors who can pay through Horsebills.com for just 50 cents. Turn hours of work into minutes with our easy-to-use site. Have our team take over your bookkeeping or continue to do it yourself and pay only our low monthly subscription fee. Check out our video tutorial on the Horsebills.com YouTube channel and get started today for free. Horsebills.com. Toll-free number 888-938-4643.
With 35 years at the forefront of sports technology, Stats provides next-generation sports content for basketball, baseball, football, soccer. And now, Stats is turning its sights to horse racing. Racelens is the most in-depth product on the market. With innovative analytics powered by data from Equibase, it will change the way you follow horse racing. Stats Racelens, bringing clarity to handicapping. Learn more at stats.com/racelens.